The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking First Cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's The Players Championship. I got it in there, Greg.
That's right.
I want to make sure that I don't get in trouble. I'm going to call it the official name, The Players. You have to yell it because it's in all capitals, championship.
Yes, I love the all caps designation. It cracks me up, but I always type it anytime I do a little write-up or write a sheet, even for myself. I capitalize it, so I remember to yell it.
So do I. I actually think championship should be capitalized.
Well, you kind of downgrade a little bit. There's a little downshift. The Players Championship.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll see. That right there is Greg Ducharme, and we are going to take you through TPC Sawgrass. We're going to look at the field. We have a lot to get to, Greg. This is a big boy, 144 players in the field. I guess it was probably a couple hours ago. They just filled out this field. Jimmy Stanger, last man in, 144 of 144. So we've got a big one at a very recognizable golf course for the 50th consecutive year.
Yes, it's the flagship event on the PGA Tour at one of the more iconic golf courses in the game of golf. I really like this golf course for PGA Tour players especially. And there's a few reasons for that. You know, there are scoring opportunities out there. There's short clubs into the greens. It's almost in a way like what you see at PGA National, where you have extremely intimidating shots, but they're often with clubs that it's reasonable. It's fair. And it teases you enough. Hey, I got a wedge in my hand. I should be aggressive, but at the same time, there's water lurking. So it tests players in multiple facets, in multiple ways. And I think it's just one of the greatest finishes in the game of golf. With 16, you can see anything from 3 to 6 on the scorecard on Sunday. 17, a par 3, you could see anything from 2 to 6 or worse. 18, you could see anything from 3 to 6. So there's a lot of variance in those final holes. And no matter what the score is, you got to step up and hit some shots.
I am with you that this is probably, I think it is a top 3 most recognizable golf course. So the way that we'll do this, Greg, is if you looked on Google Maps and just a straight down shot, and you just started handing out, you know, every golf course that the pros play, I think that more people would be able to identify this one than any other golf course.
I think that's probably accurate, especially given looking straight down.
You would see the island green.
Yes. Now, Augusta National is pretty recognizable from above, even though you miss out on elevation changes. They, with all the width and the way the trees are set up, it's somewhat recognizable. Pebble Beach being right on the coast.
Yes.
Very recognizable.
Those are my top 3. You would be able to see
you'd be able to see 17 here. You'd be able to see 7 at Pebble on the coast and say, okay, well, this is clearly on the coast. There's the iconic hole that I'm looking for. That's
clear. And 18 is another option at Pebble.
Yep. And then Augusta, I agree with that. I think those are solidly locked into 1, 2, and 3 in whatever order you want. I can't think of another one that would pop in there.
If Bay Hill may be pretty recognizable.
I think you'd get a lot of people that would confuse Bay Hill with other Florida golf courses.
Possible. But the thing about Bay Hill is the lakes are pretty big.
And if you know 6, you know those holes kind of go around the lake.
So yeah. That would be, but to your point, I'm not sure any other ones are really recognizable from above Google Map shot. I don't think Riviera would be recognizable. I don't think Muirfield Village would be recognizable.
What about the old course? Chris in the chat, what about the old course? It wouldn't look like much from above.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how zoomed in you are. Could you see the berm?
Yeah.
Or the burn running through that golf course.
Could you see the clubhouse and like the side-by-side fairways there? Maybe that would help.
And maybe the town. That would help.
Yeah.
That's also not really on the PGA Tour every year.
That's true.
Well taken. That's a possibility. I'd have to look at it from above.
All right. Well, maybe I'll do that one of these days. It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'd be hard.
It would be hard. It'd be a lot harder than you think.
Yeah.
Let's talk about TPC Sawgrass. Troy, if you want to share my screen, we've got it. Look at this beauty. The 5-0 logo, the 50th players, and this is the official scorecard. Par 72, 72, 75. Greg, you already mentioned that stretch at the end there. 16, 17, 18 is going to keep your hands full there. Last year, there were only 5 holes that played under par for the week. It was the 4 par 5s and number 12. That's the shorter par 4 right after the turn there. What else should we be considering about this golf course, the skill sets that it's going to take to find success, and everything else that goes along with it for this week?
But, you know, there's a variety of skill sets that can work here, which is one of the reasons why it's a great venue for this type of event. Because all PGA Tour players have an opportunity to compete out here. It's 70, you know, about 7,300 yards, but par 72. It does play a little bit longer now that we're playing in March compared to what we saw in May. You know, in May, there were so few drivers. I think driver is in play a little bit more now, being in March. I also think that has something to do with the winners that we've seen.
Yeah.
Since the move, you got Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith, Scottie Scheffler. And Cameron Smith, quite frankly, is the outlier because he's not known to be a great driver of the golf ball. This is typical. Right. What's that?
He was horrible that week driving it. He
right.
6 strokes off the tee. He had one of the greatest putting weeks in ShotLink history. That's the way that he did it. So it was not only kind of an outlier from who you'd expect to have success going into the week, but the way that he won it was very, very unusual.
Right. And that can look anytime somebody has a historic week on the greens, they have a great chance of winning. They're likely to win. Ultimately, especially with this move to March, it has become much more of a ball striker's golf course.
Yeah,
ball striking challenge.
We were talking about this before we went hot. So this is everything you see from here on out is probably going to be from my website, rickrungood.com. And this is the key stats model. And Greg, I did make an executive decision to only look back until 2019 because that's when they moved this back from May to March. There really is a big difference between those two time periods and the way the golf course plays.
Yes, and you've heard many players talk about it. Justin Thomas has talked about it. He prefers it in May, even though he won in March. You know, you think of the Webb Simpson victory in 2018, the last year that it was played in May. This was a very different venue. It was a lot more fiery. The ball would run through the fairway into some lighter rough. It could run through the rough into pine straw, or water, or worse. You know, who knows where? And it's a little more receptive now, but it also plays longer. So you got to hit some more drivers. and the weather tends to be a little bit cooler, so the ball doesn't go quite as far. And it makes just enough of a difference where I think the importance really sways towards off the tee and approach play specifically. And I probably lean even a little more to off the tee, because if you struggle off the tee, it's really hard to find success with your iron play as well.
Yeah. No,
and I believe that's what your model shows too.
It does big time. It loves off the tee play. It loves approach play, but rarely does the actual value of off the tee surpass approach play. It does it this week. And this is really nerdy, so we don't have to get too deep into this, but the statistical penalty, Greg, that you get for missing the fairway here is large because of those things that you just talked about: the ball, finding rough, finding pine straw, finding water, right? If you are not keeping it in play, and you said this at the top of the show, there are numbers that can add up very, very quickly when penalty strokes come into play.
Yeah, you can make a mess. And you know, the other cool thing too is, and I think this would be a hard thing to look at statistically, but it seems like each hole has a side where you just cannot miss. Mm-hmm. And if you miss on that side, it's a really big penalty. I mean, even go to number 14. If you miss left, there's water over there, a sliver of a bunker between the fairway and the water. And if you miss right, you're in moguls. And it creates a real penalty. So, but many of the holes do give you a little bit of an out on one side where it's preferred, but because the other side is so penal, it increases that penalty for a missed fairway statistically. So you do have to be very precise. I don't think you have to hit the same number of fairways that you did last week in order to have success, or you don't have to be as long. I think it still allows more players to get in the mix here. There's more pathways, but it's still very important to get the ball in the right spots off the tee.
Quick, Greg, what course am I looking at from above? This looks like a very windy day. The water is like,
it does
rippling through there. Yeah,
that's a pretty easy one, right?
There's the island green.
I actually didn't even see that. I just saw 18 and knew right away.
What are all these little? It looks like it's painted. What is Google? Oh, you know,
AI.
Is it like a cloudy day or something? Or was it?
It could be.
I don't know. Interesting. Okay. Well,
but fascinating golf course to look at. You've been in an airplane, Rick, looking down at a golf course?
I only spot golf courses when I'm on an airplane.
They always look so easy from above.
Yeah. I'm always like, oh,
I would shred that place.
Bunkers. Yeah. Like where's the defense? Cause there's no defense from up here at 30,000 feet.
But that course has plenty of defense from 30,000 feet.
Yeah, it does.
Plenty. That is scary looking.
It's also scary scarier from ground level too.
Yes.
Nasty. Okay, we are going to hop into this field. We're going to talk through the names. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry. Sale pricing ends June 5th.
And we're back. All right, Gregors, here is the cheat sheet. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 golfers over $10,000. Again, we're going with that. Over 12K down to 5K range. Scotty Scheffler at 12.8, Rory McIlroy 11.6, Xander Schauffele 11.3. Pause. Justin Thomas 10.6, Patrick Cantlay 10.3, Victor Hovland 10.1. Those are the big six. Clearly, we need to talk about the two at the top, but open forum. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, it's we're back to that pricing scenario.
Right.
Okay. And the reason for that is I believe Scotty Scheffler's performance last week created this situation because he looks unbeatable. I mean, unbeatable. I don't know what the rest of the field can do to reel this guy in other than stop giving him advice on what kind of putter to play and let it miss.
Yeah, you know, Rory might be regretting that little comment that he made.
Yeah. I mean, look, this golf course is just... It's a star killer at times. You know, they pop up, but every year big names miss the cut here at the Players. Every year. It is the scariest week for one and done because it has the most on the line and it has the highest likelihood that the guy that you think is the lock misses the cut. Well, I'm going to go out there and say it. Scotty Scheffler is the lock. He's above that, in my opinion, because he plays so smart. He is so accurate off the tee. He knows how to avoid mistakes. I don't see how you play away from Scotty Scheffler here.
I thought you were going to say I'm going out on a limb and saying Scotty Scheffler is going to miss the cut.
No.
That's right. That's what I thought.
Back to back and back to back.
Yeah, I mean it's terrifying, quite honestly. Now you're right. This is all very relative, and there's a lot of big numbers lurking. There are penalties. We've seen some pretty bad wind or weather waves. You can get sniped out here and get cut in very, very quickly. But that goes for everybody. And Scotty is dangerous week in and week out, and he's really, really dangerous if he's going to gain 4 strokes with the putter.
Yeah, and his strategy with his tee to green performance is one of his strengths. It was his strength here last year. And he has shown an ability from last year's win until now, and even before last year's win, to execute on that strategy. And he's done it just about every week. I mean, there is less than 5 tournaments that he has played where he didn't have his best stuff tee to green. It's unbelievable. So I think he knows, he and Ted Scott know how to avoid those big numbers, and they are going to be just fine out here.
Here's Rory McIlroy's profile. 2024 has not been great for Rory by his own lofty standards. 66th at Pebble Beach and then 3 straight finishes inside the 20s. What's your level of concern, Greg? Because we are seeing a little bit of dullness with the second shot. We are seeing him, and I think you have mentioned this and been tracking this over the course of the past couple of weeks, a couple of big numbers out there for Rory. And if he finds one of those big left misses that we've seen a couple times recently, it could be kind of ugly.
High risk, high miscut risk. Really high. I mean, you even go back to Dubai. And the 2 events in Dubai, he made some big mistakes down the stretch. One of them, he was still able to close the deal.
Right.
Right, but he's hitting it in the water to the left. You come here back to the United States, AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am in the first round. He makes a bogey that turned into a triple because of a penalty shot, an improper drop.
Yeah.
But he had to take a drop because of a poor tee shot to the left. Right. You go to the Genesis Invitational, and he plays a five-hole stretch in six over par, making a triple and a double back-to-back. Go to the Cognizant Classic last week, and there was another triple bogey. Mm-hmm. And last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, I don't think he made a triple, but he shot 40.
Yeah, made a bunch of bogeys in a row.
Yeah, and it hit it in the water multiple times at number six to the left. Missed five greens left on the front nine.
So that he's like 140th in bogey avoidance right now.
Yeah, and they don't even track worse than bogey.
It's really jarring. And if I was racking up a bunch of bogeys and also hitting a lot of loose shots, this would be the worst place in the world I'd want to go.
Yeah, and if it's not, the Cognizant Classic is. or Bay Hill, right? What I mean, Florida's a bad place to be when you're a little loose.
This would be fine at the Old Course.
Yeah, perfectly fine.
Left everywhere is the other fairway.
Yes, and and left of the green is still green.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no worries out there. Here, different story. Now, the one thing I will say is Rory can turn this around probably faster than anybody. So I'm not really worried long term, but I'm worried for this week.
The rest of this 10K range gets pretty interesting after that. You know, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland. I've got pros and cons for all of them. How do you assess the rest of this range?
Okay, so I looked at 2024, and I sorted this field by ball striking. Mm-hmm. And the first player, where now if you go, so I have them sorted by ball striking, off the tee and approach combined. And if I look across the way, the only player on the first page of my little leaderboard here who gained strokes in every category is Xander Schauffele. Mm. Right, he is gaining in 2024 1.11 strokes ball striking. He's gaining a half a shot around the green. He's gaining 0.06 putting. He's the only one. Everybody else seems to have a little bit of a hole. So I'm rather fond of Xander Schauffele in this event. I think he's been playing really well. There's an issue. The issue is, do you trust Xander down the stretch if he gets in the mix to win? And I don't at this point, even though I do believe he's capable.
I just don't. I'm 0 for Xander. I've just never gotten him right.
Yeah.
He obviously has great weeks. He's got four top tens in 2024 already.
He's playing great golf. But he is very much at risk.
Why do I never feel comfortable? Despite him being basically the most consistent, well-rounded golfer up here.
Yeah. He is. He's from a statistical standpoint, he's the next best player behind Scottie Scheffler. And you could make an argument he's more complete. I know he wasn't last week. You could make an argument he's more complete if you weigh putting more than I do. But he has a tied 19th finish here last year. He missed the three cuts before that. And he has a tied second in 2018. Granted, that's in May. So March has been tough on him here, but I do believe that he's the best player in this. Other than Scottie Scheffler, he's probably your best choice up in this range.
I can't really argue with you. I'm quite fond of Justin Thomas, who outside of the two rounds at Riviera has been splendid. This is a stat profile that if you just handed me this, I could probably guess it's Justin Thomas's. Just because he's kind of back to his DNA of being a, you know, small, small gainer off the tee, nearly a stroke per round guy on approach, very, very good short game, and a erratic putter that might lose you five and gain you three. Like I could have probably guessed this was Justin Thomas's stat profile.
You know what's amazing? That he gained strokes off the tee last week. That's amazing. He hit it in the water left at 11 three times.
Oh, I know.
He
with hit clubs, I think.
Far left. Yeah. I mean, he almost hit it out of bounds. What was it in round two? Almost hit it out of bounds with his tee shot. Hit a tree, stayed in bounds. At number eight, he hit it so far left, he had to take a drop, a penalty leading to a bogey. It's very much like the Rory McIlroy situation, although JT is making better scores after those situations. So I worry about his errancy off the tee. But he still gained strokes. It means there's a lot of good in JT's game right now. A lot of it.
Yeah, there is a lot of good. Anybody else in this 10K range that we need to discuss, or should we roll on?
Where are you with? I just got to ask. Where are you with Vic?
I'm not worried, but I'm getting there. I know he's working through stuff, and I know he's working with a new coach, and there's things that he's trying to figure out. Like always, I liked to see that his approach play looks like it's starting to come around. I do not like to see this, which is those gains that he really piled up around the greens last year. He has not been good in 2024 around the greens, which is a regression. I think that if you're a little bit off at this place, it can be pretty nasty.
T3 last year, T9 in 22, missed cut in 21. But course history doesn't matter.
I agree. this is just not, you know, statistically, it's so different than the stretch of golf that we saw last year.
Yeah.
In a couple ways. He's not hitting it as well, and his short game is struggling again.
And I think his short game's struggling because, well, changing coaches may have something to do with it. I don't know for sure. But I could also see him putting a little more time back in to get his ball striking back and kind of, okay, let's get back to baseline here. But I'll tell you this, Rick. At this venue, looking at this 10K range, if I'm not going to go Scottie Scheffler, I don't feel comfortable enough with anybody to say that you can't go Victor Hovland. I will be early on Victor Hovland. I'm okay with that this week. I think that's a very reasonable, although risky, your points are valid. I think it's a reasonable play.
And I do think that he's always a guy who's like pretty, when he's close and it clicks, it's like it's over. He's just going to roll. Like once he finds it, he has very, very good body control. And once he does find it, it's going to be pretty dangerous. But I don't know how far away he is from that.
Yeah, it's fair.
We'll see. The 9K range. This is exciting. We've got Zalatoris, Matsuyama, Wyndham Clark, Max Homa, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg, Sam Burns, Shane Lowry, and Cam Young, Greg. So, I mean, there is plenty to choose from. A lot of these guys had good finishes last week as well. Where do we want to head?
Yeah, there's a couple different options here. So, option one is Will Zalatoris. I'm fine with riding that train. You know, he led the field last week in driving accuracy.
Choo-choo. It's that, shorter driver, man. And he's just like, I love the stat profile, but when you just watch his game, it looks easy. He looks composed. He looks happy to be out there. He looks fresh. The putter's rolling. Like, it's just good vibes.
He's having fun. He's becoming one of my favorite players to watch on the PGA Tour. I think the putter is by no means a strength, but it's a whole lot better. It's so much better. You're not seeing any strokes of his on Twitter, right? I mean, that's enough.
That's how you know.
He still hits it off the toe. There's weaknesses, but it's just fantastic. You add this driving accuracy into one of the best iron players in the game, and it's hard for me to stay away when he's in this form. So that'd be my starting place in this range. And then, honestly, Rick, I like to go down to... Well, there's other guys above that I'm interested in, but I like to go down next to Shane Lowry and Cam Young.
Okay. I thought that was interesting. So Lowry is by far the most accurate off the tee of this group. Now, he is not nearly as long, but what he has done on this Florida swing is, listen, the Sundays haven't been good, but if I told him on January 1st, you're going to have a T4 and a third in the first two legs of the Florida swing, he would have emptied his bank account for that deal.
He'd be thrilled. Now, he's probably leaves last week devastated, you know, and the cognizant devastated, but it could be just enough to keep him hungry. It's clear that his form is sharp. He's playing really well. He's getting more and more comfortable with Florida golf, as he said. And I mean, I'm not the first one to bring this up, but if you're into a narrative story, do you know what day Sunday is, Rick?
Oh, okay. I don't, but I'm going to just guess that it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
That's great.
So if you're into that kind of thing, it could be a good play, especially when it's backed up by a T4 and a third place finish in his last two events with exquisite driving of the golf ball and very high quality iron play.
Wouldn't the broadcast love that if Shane Lowry's in the mix on St. Patrick's Day?
Ah, be fantastic.
What if, is Seamus Power in this field?
Yeah, I believe he is.
He is too. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not as well known to be Irish.
That's true. Shane is, I mean, I don't generally stereotype people, but he is like the most stereotypical looking Irish man.
Yes. And you listen to him talk. I mean, I know Seamus Power has a great Irish accent as well, but I don't know if the patrons, the fans lining the fairways would know the way that they will if it's Shane Lowry. Imagine a Shane Lowry coronation, like 6-shot lead on the back nine on Sunday at the Players on St. Patrick's Day.
And then he just chugs like 9 Guinness.
Green Guinnesses.
Exactly. Okay, so that's so Zalatoris at the top. I like the Lowry, the Cam Young at the bottom. The guy in the middle that I'm kind of interested in here is Max Homa.
Yep, me too.
So he is just seemingly flying under the radar, and I get it. There's a lot happening here. You've got Zalatoris and Decky. You've got Spieth and Ludwig. There's a lot of options here. Max Homa was great going into Bay Hill last week, finished eighth. He's great going into this week. I don't care about course history as much, but he does have back-to-back top 13s, a 13th and a sixth. I think Max Homa is starting to round into form at the perfect time, trying to peak for this kind of major championship run, something he's needed to kind of break through in his career. I don't mind just being in on Max Homa for a while.
I don't mind it either. I mean, I have my concerns. He's done a lot of his work for a while now with his short game and putting.
For sure.
Now, it's a great sign that he's able to do that. But too often we've seen a very professional performance out of Max Homa in that he doesn't have his best stuff, but still finishes respectably. This kind of golf course, there are enough birdies out there where you got to have your good stuff. Mm. You got to have your good stuff. Scottie Scheffler may not have to have all the good stuff because his bad is just that good. But for Max Homa, I think of him coming into the last two Players Championships in much better form with his ball striking. That being said, he has a great golf swing, is, I think, by design, a great ball striker. And there's going to be a week when this turns around and it's going to be really fun. But he's got to get away from kind of playing defense and making a score out of what could have been a bad round. He's just got to go throw a great round out there. And we haven't seen that from him in a while.
I'm glad you mentioned the fact that he's a professional, which sounds silly. They're all technically professionals, but you're 100% right. When he gave up three strokes to the field on Thursday at Riviera, a lot of guys would have just packed it in and said, you know, maybe I'll make the cut because it's a small cut or whatever. Bounces back, grinds this thing out, finishes T16, clearly doesn't have his best stuff. And like you said, still getting results out of it. I love that.
Yeah, it's cool to see. It's just been going on for a little too long for me where I'm wondering, you know, when are we going to get this golf swing clicking again? When is that going to happen? I hope it happens this week. It really could. Again, not my favorite play in the range, but I am. He was probably the fourth guy on my list. He was the fourth guy on my list.
I think that'd be a very popular win if Max Homa.
Yeah,
that would be
very.
Let's continue here and do the eights before we go to the break, Greg, because we have the lower range here. So this is kind of an awkward range now because I think. Obviously, you've got the big six guys in the 10K range. You have a lot of great options in the nines. The eights are still fine, but there are definitely questions here. Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood, Sahith Theegala, Russell Henley, Tony Finau, Sung J.M., and then we rounded out with Corey Connors, Matt Fitzpatrick, Benny On, Tom Kim, Minwoo Lee, and Siwoo Kim. I think this is going to be an awkward spot for a lot of lineups to build through.
There's one guy in here that I really like, and I'm really worried about it.
Perfect.
All right. At the same time, and it's Tony Finau.
Oh boy, you are just
brave. Yeah, I know it's so. You need to be, but look at what he has done with his ball striking. It's been just incredible. He's gained 7 shots approaching the green. Well, let's go just ball striking. Nearly 8 shots at Farmers. 5 and change in just 2 rounds at Pebble Beach, 6.27 at the Genesis, 5.78 in Mexico. The guy tee to green has been a machine. And I find this week so hard to predict that part of me just wants to go to the data. Who are the best ball strikers in every range? I'm going to build my lineup off of off the tee and approach combined. And if I do that, Tony Finau's in every lineup.
That would be interesting. If I just covered up, you know, my right eye and did not have to look at the right side of the ball, I'd be enamored.
But remember this, he made a little adjustment in Mexico. You started to see that toe of the putter get in the ground more. That could be. And then you see a little bit of time off. He gained strokes on the greens in Mexico. I know they're Pospolum. I know it's a different surface, but it could be that he's actually made a change to the putting. And we're not just kind of going on the roller coaster ride here. And I think his short game is adequate. I really do. So I am going to, if I'm in this 8K range, he's my top play. I'm going to bet, as this is a betting game, I'm going to bet that Tony Finau has figured something out on the greens and we could see a little spark from him this week.
I'm going to need to sleep on that, but I see what you're laying out. I'll sleep on it and see what I can come back.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah. Benny On. At $8,100, has quietly been one of like the best players in 2024.
Yeah, he's been so good.
The driver is a weapon. Second shot, no problems there. Even the he's a pretty talented putter now. Still capable of losing your strokes, but this is more good than bad. Benny On, I don't know. I think they did away with the most improved player award. He would be my most improved player as of right now.
It used to be the comeback player of the year award.
Yeah.
And I think the end of that was when Steve Stricker won it back to back.
You can't be the comeback player of the year 2 years in a row.
No. Cause once you've come back, you're back. Right.
So yeah. How could you come back again?
Yeah. But you're right, Rick. I mean, he was playing on the Corn Ferry Tour 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Back to the Corn Ferry Tour. And he has been a stud this year. Absolute stud. Tied 16th at the Genesis. He played some really good golf at the Cognizant too. And a T8 last week. It's been awesome. I got no problem with him.
We've played four signature events this year. He's got a fourth, a 31st, a 16th, and an eighth.
Awesome. Very capable of contending here. Capable of winning here. All right. I think there's a few more guys here in this range. What are your thoughts on Sung J.M.?
Man,
did he show you anything last week? Because I thought last week was better.
It's definitely better. It's definitely more Sungjae like, where he now is, you know, Sungjae at his best is if, you know, he gains throughout the bag. He's fairly consistent. Yes, he's a better ball striker, but like he's a well-rounded golfer. What we've seen from him in 2024 has been horrible. But last week was by far the best four rounds we've gotten from him.
So I think he could be a pivot play if ownership gets a little intense one way or another and you want to differentiate. I think there's enough there for him.
He's usually great in Florida too.
Yeah, he putts really well on Bermuda. Typically he finished tied 6th here last year, tied 17th in 2021. Had a tough go of it in 22, but 3 or 4 years he's gained strokes putting at the Players.
Yeah.
So that one is curious to me.
You know, if we're gonna say, hey, maybe Tony Finau, and there will be pivot opportunities. You know, Finau, I don't think is going to be popular at all. I don't think Sungjae is going to be popular at all. I think they could be very interesting pivots on a golf course that will create carnage.
And you don't want to be chalk. It doesn't work here.
No, those 25% owned miscuts, they're coming.
Yeah, and you could take advantage of them when you pivot off of it. Is Minwoo Lee going to be chalk?
You know, it's interesting, probably, just because I don't think this range is super exciting. He's at the bottom of it, so he's cheap at 8,000. He had the runner-up 2 weeks ago. He finished 6th here last year. He's just popular. So I think people just like to click his name and hope that he gets cooking and they can root for Minwoo and all that stuff. But I don't think it'll be crazy, but I think of the 8K guys, he'll be like 15 or 16% of something like that.
One start here to tied 6th finish, which almost worries me. You know, is he going to repeat again? You don't see a lot of contention in back-to-back years here. But what I really like about Minwoo is the improvement in his iron play the last two starts. It tends to be the weakness in his game, and it looked really good last 2 weeks.
I was going to say, that's the one thing that he's really kind of struggled with.
Yes. But back-to-back weeks, gaining strokes, and did it significantly at the Cognizant.
Yeah, that's borderline exciting for me.
So, all right, you got to look at Siwoo Kim too.
I don't know what the final number was, but last I saw Siwoo, he had given up like 8 strokes on the greens.
8.61.
I'm going to have to go through Getty and see if he was using the broomstick or not.
Oh, that's a great resource for that. I didn't see him hit a shot. But he's just been, like, you take the Tony Finau model. All right, I'm going statistic. I'm going stats. Best ball strikers get on the team. Siwoo has a really good shot at making the team because it's been awesome. And what's the likelihood that he loses? Well, that he loses strokes putting, very high. That he loses 8, very low.
All right, here's round one. Oh, I can't share that window because it's a pop out. So round one, he was using a short putter. That is the last time Getty got a photo of him. So there's nothing from round two, round three, round four, but he lost 4.5 in round one. So I assume he probably used it throughout the week.
He gained strokes in round four.
Maybe he put it in the bag in round four.
I think Siwoo's a playable option.
You know what he loves? Pete. He loves Pete Dye courses.
He loves Pete Dye. And you know what else he loves? Winning the players like he did in 2017.
Money? I don't know. What does he love?
T9 in 2021. Now you're in March. Really nice finish. WD in 2022. He's done pretty well on the greens. Gained strokes in 4 out of the 7 starts here. Putt in. I'm in. He's a play for me.
They are intriguing. I'll give you that. They're very intriguing. We're going to continue this conversation with a little more value, 7s, 6s, and then 5s. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. The 7K range, Greg, I'm not going to read them all, but it's Harmon, Keegan Bradley at the top. It's Keith Mitchell, Adam Hadwin in the middle, and then Cam Davis, Justin Rose at the bottom of this range. Where would we like to allocate our funds here?
Right in the middle of this price range,
okay,
is Keith Mitchell.
Yeah.
It's been a stripe show. It's been an absolute stripe show. He is known to be a great driver of the golf ball and has been in 2024. He can be a good iron player, can be not very good with his irons. Of late, he has been spectacular with them. I mean, the American Express in 2 measured rounds, he gained 6 strokes approaching the green. In Mexico, he gains 8. He's gained in every event this year except for 2. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of this golf swing. I think Keith's a great play. And the putting has been mediocre. But it hasn't been bad like it has for Finau or like it has been for Siwoo. I'm backing those guys. I got to back Keith Mitchell.
What I like is that he has sometimes been kind of a one-trick pony where he drives it well and then the results don't really follow. That's not the case right now. He's driving it well. The rest of his game is sharp enough, and he's got a bunch of really good finishes in 2024. So I'm with you here, bud. That's a good one.
This one, you're also going to be with me. I think everybody is, and it worries me just because of the popularity, and that's Tom Hoagie.
I cannot believe how good he's been.
Like, hello. It's been fantastic. Look at what he's... It's like it gets better every week with this iron play. It's just...
The other thing is, I'm not sure anybody has played as much as Tom Hoagie in 2024. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's played 9 times already.
Well, he missed one event.
And he missed one cut. So he has played all but 6 possible rounds.
Wow. And he's played well. I mean, why would you stop?
I know. Why would you stop? He's flushing it all over the place. He's piling up to up top 20s. He finished 8th at Riv, finished 12th last week. I mean, also, by the way, not that I care. He's got a great record here.
T3 last year.
And four.
That worries me.
We're 4 straight top 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great golf course for him. It's just a perfect golf course for him. I just feel like there's too much. He is going to be chalk. He's going to be chalk. That I don't like. I mean, he's playing so much better. Eric Cole and JT Poston are at 7,700, 100 below him. Those three guys are like maybe they're very comparable. Very similar players, but Poston and Cole are not hitting it anywhere near as good as Hoagie right now.
Yeah, it would have been helpful if Eric Cole didn't miss that very popular cut at the Cognizant. It would have been helpful if Harris English didn't struggle on Sunday. It would have been helpful if Adam Scott made the cut last week. Those are all guys that could have sucked ownership away from Tom Hoagie.
Yeah.
But here we are, I think, in a very Hoagie world.
So if I'm going to pivot off of Hoagie, I think I'd pivot to Chris Kirk. Because I don't like Harris English's record here. He's made one cut. It's been pretty tough. And I liked him last week. I don't like him here this week. Chris Kirk, on the other hand, has been hitting it pretty well. He's been struggling on the greens a little bit, but he has a pretty good record here. He has a number of top 15 finishes. He struggled on the greens in his last couple starts here, big time. But it feels, well, I think about what he did at the Cognizant Classic, how well he started. He played some nice golf, even though it was a T44 finish at the API. I think Chris Kirk would be my pivot, even though it's not anywhere near as pretty as Tom Hoagie's stat profile.
Well, nothing is. Let me just show you Emiliano Grillo real quick here. So
yeah, I like him too.
Yeah, continues to putt well. Did it again last week at Bay Hill. He gained 3 strokes putting. T8 hasn't missed a cut since Mayakoba. Just you know, somebody that we talk a lot about that I want to make sure that we have at least shown his updated stat profile for this week.
Yeah, one more. You want to show one more?
Sure.
EBR.
Oh yeah.
That's the only I wrote down 4 names. None of them were Chris Kirk. I just figured I'd mention him. So, but EBR, I did write down.
So somebody in the chat, I think it was Joseph. Apologies if it was not. He nominated EBR for most improved, which, hey, yeah, since the American Express, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 6 top 25s with an 8th and a 2nd.
Yeah, Ben. Awesome. Just awesome. Some nice improvements on the greens. Seems to understand what he's doing with his golf swing right now. The finishes are following suit. I think it's the kind of game that could fit here at the Players too. He has one start in 2022 and it's a T13. It's not so good where I don't think he could back it up. I think he's very capable, largely because he's in such good form right now.
Was it this event or the PGA Championship where he shredded that tee marker and almost killed somebody?
Oh, I remember, but it's too vague for me to comment either way.
I cannot remember if it was this event because we had cameras everywhere or if it was like the PGA or something like that. It was Dangerous JD. Good job, Dangerous JD. You were nominating EVR. Here's the 6K range. Danny McCarthy, Nick Taylor at the top. Sepp Straka, Brendan Todd in the middle. Ben Griffin, Taylor Montgomery, Taylor Pendrith at the bottom. What do you see, Greg?
All right. There's a couple guys up here that I'm not overly thrilled about. I'll just name them. Like, I think Matthew Pavone, you could go back to. I think Billy Horschel and Austin Eckroat are all playable. The guy that I really like, unless you want to go to any of those guys specifically.
I was just going to say, of those ones you named, I'm worried that Eckroat is kind of on week four in a row, but he's very accurate off the tee and with an emotional win. Very accurate off the tee. Great ball striker. He was my favorite of those that you mentioned. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah. So I'm a fan of that. I really like his profile. Understand the fatigue. That's why I'm just kind of lukewarm on it. But the play in the 6K range is Doug Gim.
Yes. He's a new player.
He's like, why is he in the 6K range? look at these. This is awesome. Absolutely awesome results. Four straight top 16 finishes, gaining strokes basically across the board in every single one of them, and doing a lot of it with his ball striking.
And he plays out of the fairway a lot.
Very accurate. And he has a, not that I care. But he does have a T6 here and missed the cut last year. So T6, missed cut. Let's throw another top 10 at him, Doug Gim.
Yeah, I know. Doug Gim. And how about Andrew, I got snubbed, Novak.
Yes.
Who has three straight top 10 finishes, was seemingly the odd man out last week at Bay Hill. He's been doing it via the ball striking. He's been doing it in a very well-rounded fashion.
And he's 6,400.
Maybe he's got a little revenge on the mind.
I hope so. I hope he's got a... Imagine if he went out and won the Players.
Could you? I would. I mean, it would be... It would. The PGA Tour would hate it, but I would love that.
Just be, I would just love the story.
Just like, oh, watch. You think you're going to keep me out of anything now?
I'll guess what? I'll be there. I'm not skipping anything.
I'm playing 48 times.
I'll be there. I'd love to see it. I got one other name. I guess there's two. Nick Taylor, Aaron Rye also caught my attention this week.
Yeah, I thought that Nick Taylor, I haven't dug too deep into Aaron Rye. We can pull him up. But I thought Nick Taylor's, I think his pedigree is just kind of too good for this price, if that makes sense.
Yeah, me too.
He won a couple of starts ago, literally three starts ago. He finished 12th at Bay Hill. I just think he's a better player than what the price indicates. And then Aaron Rye, I admit, I have not looked at this week. Let's see what he...
Yeah, it's been pretty good ball striking wise. He was T19 in Mexico. He finished T23 in Puerto Rico. Been a little more hit or miss. But at the same time, I think he has a good performance here as well. T19 last year.
That's the perfect finish that you're looking for.
Right. He's comfortable with the golf course, but it's not, can I do this again?
Right.
Nope. You know, you're just playing golf again.
The 5K range. Remember, it's 144 person field. Adam Shank, Taylor Moore at the top. Sam Ryder, Sammy Valamaki, Matt Wallace, Jimmy Stanger, 5,500. The bottom, the min-priced golfers, Zach Blair, Hayden Buckley, Harry Hall, Ches Reavy. Anything worth throwing a dart on, Greg?
So I got just a bunch of names here, and I think there's a reason. You could find a reason for all these guys in the 5K range. It's Justin Lauer, mm-hmm. Robert McIntyre, Carson Young, Grayson Sigg, Nico Echeverria.
That's, yep.
And Grayson Murray, who's at 5,100. Okay, now that's a big factor in the Grayson Murray thing.
So the two that I overlapped on were Lauer, who just kind of keeps everything in front of him. Very good player.
Been playing well.
Look at the Nico Echeverria profile here.
Yeah, it's kind of like a whole lot different.
Yes. So his win in Puerto Rico last year was a Michael Kim win.
Yes.
It was missed cuts before, and a ton of miscuts after. And now he's kind of giving us the start of what Michael Kim has done recently, which is like, okay, let's hard reset this thing and get everything figured out. And now he's got three straight top 25s. He's made the cut in, boy, like 11 of 13, 9 of 11, something like that. Played in Puerto Rico last week, finished T15. This is and the stats that we do have from Cognizant and from Mexico are much better. This feels like something's changing.
I couldn't agree more. And he's 5,400.
Yeah.
But he has the game to win on the PGA Tour. Okay, that's a good sign. Was it a fluke? Well, as of last year, yes, it was a complete fluke. But now I agree with you. I think you're starting to see a player get comfortable, a player realize that, okay, maybe it wasn't a fluke. Maybe I'm really good, gain a little bit of confidence. It's hard for me to look past somebody with three straight top 25s at 5,400 and say that's not worth a shot at the Players, where, like we say, anybody can win here. Any style of play. So, yeah, I'm willing to take a shot at that.
Do you know where he lives, Greg?
Jacksonville?
Ponte Vedra. You know what else is in Ponte Vedra?
TPC Sawgrass?
That's correct. Well done. Very well done. That is
the Dye Stadium course?
Probably practices there.
Likely does.
Why wouldn't he? They've got all the resources. Why wouldn't he?
Yep.
Those were the two, Lauer and Echeverria, that had my full attention. Is there anybody else that we need to chat about?
I think the best looking stat profile of the guys I wrote down, I think Carson Young is probably the guy.
There was a time he was briefly the best CA Young on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Where is he? What's his price? Pretty I wrote good. It.
He is. I just scrolled past him.
Oh, there he is. 5,500.
55. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
it's very good.
It's very good for 5,500.
One miscut, couple of top 17 finishes, good ball striking metric.
T8 in Mexico.
Really have one huge flaw that's going to, I mean, his putter could be better, but it's not like he loses 2.5 strokes putting every single week. Yeah.
Very solid chance of making the cut.
Yeah. I love it. All right. I think I'm going to call it there.
That's fair.
We named a lot of names in a very, very big field. We're going to cover more on Tuesday for the mega preview pod, storylines, best bets, one and done. We'll have round by round recaps Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Am I missing anything, Greg? It's going to be a big week. It's going to be a great week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to covering it. Right, it has a big feel to it. There's going to be a lot of storylines on and off the golf course. And I know that, I have a sense that we're going to have some frustrating storylines before the tournament. But once this tournament gets underway, it's going to be exciting golf to watch.
And when Shane Lowry raises a Guinness on the 18th green on St. Patrick's Day, we're all going to be chanting his name.
Yes. Yes, we are. That'd be rather cool. Maybe I should play him in one and done.
Oh, go for it. Definitely should.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Big thanks to producer Troy. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Greg Ducharme. You can find him at The Real GFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.